Good morning to all of you, and welcome to each one. And if you are a guest today, again, I want to say welcome to you as well. Matthew Henry was a preacher and a scholar who wrote a famous 6-volume commentary on the whole Bible. It still is used by a lot of people and appreciated. Matthew Henry published that work first in 1706, and it's interesting that it has endured that long. Henry was a nonconformist preacher. That's what you'll find him described if you looked him up. He was someone who traveled in many places to in his time to speak. And one of those times when he was traveling somewhere to preach, he was held up and robbed of every bit of money he had on him. I think most people would have been angry at the injustice and upset over the loss of funds and somewhat depressed at powerlessness to do anything about it or to correct it. But Matthew Henry wrote in his diary, "I am thankful. I'm thankful that during these years I've never been robbed before. I'm thankful that though they took my money, they didn't take my life. And though they took all I had, it wasn't much. And finally, I'm thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Matthew Henry was doing something the Bible often instructs all of us to do. He was practicing the discipline of thanksgiving. And by now you know I'm not talking about the holiday in which we act most undisciplined in terms of our appetites and so forth of any other day of the year. I'm talking about an aspect of godliness, an aspect of Christian living that takes its shape from what we saw Jesus doing in our passage that we studied last week. The discipline of thanksgiving suggests an activity which doesn't just happen naturally, and that thanksgiving is more about being than it is feeling. It's not just a nice feeling that might come on to you on your best days. Thanksgiving is in Scripture an imperative, which means that it's something spoken of, as Aaron mentioned in our prayer a while ago, as something that we are expected to obey, that we make a choice to act on. And it's an imperative with very far-reaching implications. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, at verses 16 through 18, a wonderful little snippet of the spirit of Christian living. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." A lot of people spend their time trying to search for what the will of God for them as individuals is. This isn't a bad place to get specific about it. Give thanks in all circumstances because it's the will of God. In Ephesians 5, at verse 17, it mentions understanding what the will of the Lord is. And at verse 20, it says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's quite a standard. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which indeed you were called in one body." We remembered this morning that we're one body in the Lord. And then it says, a short little sentence, "And be thankful." How does one go about that? How does the will of God become real in our lives through the discipline of giving thanks? An athlete trains and practices so that he develops the muscle memory in order to do his best in what he does. Well, there's an aspect of the discipline of thanksgiving that's like that. It trains us to make this our second nature. Let's think about it this morning. Let's start with the discipline of the process itself. You know, there is a process that a person goes through, either consciously or not consciously, in arriving at the place where he actually gives thanks. And I'd like you to imagine with me for a few moments the process. Giving thanks means that at some point I've been thoughtful enough or aware enough to realize that I've been blessed. You can't give thanks for something that unless you realize you have something to give thanks for. I live and move and have my being. That's evident. I'm here today. There are rains and fruitful seasons and gladness and things that satisfy our hearts. Maybe you've experienced some of those things this past week. I have food and shelter, and I heard what Justin said about my lack of food. Food and shelter and clothing. I have all of those things. All of them are good gifts. They came from somewhere. Someone gave them. Who was it and where from? The Bible says they're from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And that's James 1 and verse 17. And there is the issue. If we don't thank, it's largely because we don't think. We just assume that we're due all of those things, that someone is supposed to provide them for us. In Isaiah, the Lord says to his people, "The ox knows its owner, the donkey knows its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand." That's Isaiah 1 and verse 3. What the prophet is saying is that the people hadn't been thinking. Being thankful begins with being thoughtful, and that's just a habit that has to be developed intentionally. Then the next step in the process is that giving thanks means being humbled by the realization that I've been blessed. It's why me? Why this much? Why should I be blessed by his reward? We sung, I cannot give an answer. I've not demanded a right. I've not deserved a price. I've been given a gift. And my place is with that one leper in Luke 17 who went back and fell on his face at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. Henry Ward Beecher once observed that a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. And I might add to that that even worse, in his self-centeredness, a proud man thinks somebody ought to make him happy. That's their obligation. Morris Chalfant wrote that about an experience in Africa. He said the Maasai tribesmen in a French West Africa expressed gratitude by saying, "My head is in the dirt." He said it comes from their custom of showing thanks by bowing so low in the presence of a person who's blessed them that they actually press their head in the dirt. They think that thanksgiving dictates humility before the person to whom you're thankful. Does that make sense to you? Isn't that the proper response? So being humbled by the realization is the second step. The third step in this process that we're describing is that giving thanks means that having thought upon the kindness I've been shown and then having been humbled by it, I feel a sense of indebtedness in some way that affects what I do. We've been singing about this morning. There is a scene from a book that Cormac McCarthy wrote that has stuck in my mind about this for some reason, about this sense of indebtedness. McCarthy wrote a book entitled The Road. I didn't enjoy it. I thought the whole tone of it was dark and hopeless. It's about a man and a boy, never even says they're related, but in a world where some cataclysmic event has meant an absence of people. They see a crowd over here off in the distance once in a while, but they're afraid of them, and they're traveling on this road. They don't really know to where or why, and they're dependent on whatever they can find as they go along to live, and they suffer, they struggle. They come finally to a place where there's this house and there's been food left in it, and the boy is exhausted, and when he wakes up, the man has been preparing a meal, and it's, I don't know, ham and scrambled eggs and baked beans and biscuits and butter and all of that. And they spread it out on top of a cabinet or something that's there, and they get ready to eat. And the man says to the boy, "Go ahead, don't let it get cold." The boy says, "What do I eat first?" "Whatever you like." The boy says, "Is this coffee?" "Yes, here, put the butter on your biscuits like this." And the boy says, "Okay." And then the man says, "What is it?" And the boy says, "Do you think we should thank the people? The people? The people who gave us all this?" And the man says, "Well, I guess we could do that." And the boy says, "Will you do it?" The man says, "Why don't you?" "I don't know how." The man says, "Yes, you do. You know how to say thank you." So here's the boy sitting there staring at his plate and seeming lost in this process, but feeling some sense of indebtedness, some sense of obligation. And the man was about to speak when the boy said, "Dear people, thank you for all this food and stuff. We know that you saved it for yourself, and if you were here, we wouldn't eat it, no matter how hungry we were, and we're sorry that you didn't get to eat it, and we hope that you're safe in heaven with God." That's the sense of obligation. And the Bible, of course, teaches us that rightly understood, that sense of obligation would be God-oriented. You can see it in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 1, 14, 15. "I am debtor." I'm under obligation, in other words, both to Greeks and barbarians, to wise and foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. Why was he debtor? Because he had gotten the chance to hear it himself and to be redeemed from his sin and lostness. And then in chapter 8, verse 12 through 14, he expands the thought from his debt to all of our debts. "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." You can see that the sense of indebtedness was affecting not just how he felt or how he wanted his brothers to feel, but how we live. What principles guide us? So there's the third step. The fourth step in this process is that giving thanks means eventually and somehow I will have a desire to honor the one who gifted me, the one to whom I'm indebted. And where it's related to God, I'll have a desire to praise and honor and glorify the one to whom I'm indebted. And the point is not my fulfilling an obligation only, or not that the giver needs anything from me. The point is that I've received a blessing, a gift, and that the only appropriate thing I can offer in return is what the Bible calls the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I read a brother who told about, he's a preacher, and he says that one time, out of the blue, a guy came and gave him a car. His guy knew, he's acquainted with the guy's family, gave him a car, and it was a Cadillac. And he was stunned. He said, first thing I did is I called his daughter. I called the daughter of the man who has given me the car, and I asked her, what do I do? And she said, you say thank you. What else can you do if you're given a gift? I read the story of a medical missionary who worked in a region of India where an unusual number of people who were born healthy and all that healthy vision eventually gradually lost their sight as they matured. And over time, this doctor developed a treatment that interrupted that process and that preserved their vision. And he'd help all the people he could. When he had helped them, though, they'd never say thank you, because there wasn't a word for that in their dialect. Instead, they would speak a word which meant, I will tell your name. They'd receive something wonderful from this doctor, and wherever they went, they would tell the name of the one who had blessed them. And that's very much what I mean by this step and the discipline of thanksgiving. And then the other step is that giving thanks, this is the fifth one, means that I tend to act on what I know I ought to do. That, in other words, I turn the good intention of appreciation into the action of thanksgiving. You know, if you think about Luke 17 and that story of the 10 lepers that Jesus made well, surely that one fellow, that Samaritan, who went back to thank the Lord for healing his leprosy, surely wasn't the only one who felt the twinge of appreciation for it. But he was the one out of 10 who did anything about it. Thanksgiving means that thanks is given. It's when gratitude is expressed that it becomes giving thanks. I think everyone knows that, but it helps to say it maybe at times for us. Some years ago, actually, the year my family moved to Springfield, there was a little piece that was printed in the Gospel Advocate magazine at the time, which talked about thanks living. And it's the action part of this. Thanksgiving is gratitude in action. But here's the part of it I wanted to share with you about the action I'm describing. What is thanksgiving or thanks living? It's thanking God for the gift of life by living it triumphantly. It's thanking God for your talents and abilities by accepting them as obligations to be invested for the common good. It's thanking God for all that men and women have done for you by doing things for others. It's thanking God for opportunities by accepting them as challenges to achievement. It's thanking God for happiness by striving to make others happy. It's thanking God for beauty by helping to make the world more beautiful. It's thanking God for inspiration by trying to be an inspiration to others. It's thanking God for health and strength by the care and reverence you show your body. It's thanking God for creative ideas that enrich life by adding your own creative contributions to the human progress. It's thanking God for each new day by living it to the fullest. It's thanking God by giving your hands, arms, legs, and voice to your thankful spirit. So the action part of this enters the picture of the process. And I want to take a moment is all I have left, but I'd like to take a moment to call your attention to the discipline now of the practice. Thanksgiving disciplines you or me, and then we discipline ourselves and the practice of it in everyday life. And just to make it as boiled down as simply as I'm able to, I want to say these three things to you. First, toward God, the practice of thanksgiving is praise. And what I mean by that is that it's the telling of what God has done. Whatever else you think about praise, it boils down to that. It's the telling of what God has done. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the writer says, through Him, that's Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Notice that a sacrifice of praise is the fruit of lips. Acknowledging His name, the different versions may put it, give thanks to His name, or make confession to His name, or openly profess His name. But that's what thanksgiving is. There's so much to tell, so much about who God is, so much about what He has done and is doing for us, that would let His glory show through if it were told. Thanksgiving, if you're thankful to God, you can't keep Him a secret. You tell what He's done. Secondly, toward self, thanksgiving is contentment. And what I mean is, it's the glad acceptance of what the Lord gives along with the calm sense of well-being that comes from accepting what the Lord gives. In Philippians 4, and I realize this is spoken in the context of relational concerns, but if it can be practiced there, it can be practiced anywhere. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all knowledge, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then the discipline of this practice leads to the priceless kind of know-how that's mentioned later in verses 11 through 13, knowing how to be abased and knowing how to abound and to be content and confident. Toward self, thanksgiving is contentment. And then third, toward others, thanksgiving is respect. It's a quality that is missing in modern American culture. We've lost the ability to respect people for what they are, who they are, made in God's image. And we think of them based on whether they're on our side or whether they do or say what we want them to. What I mean here is that it's the consideration and the graciousness that goes with recognizing the worth of another human person, another person made in God's image. And it's interesting in the New Testament how this appears. Like in Titus chapter 2, when we're being called to be grateful for the grace of God which has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, for us to be zealous of good works. In Titus 3 and verse 2, it calls us to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, on the other hand, it describes what it's like when that intention is absent. Verses 2, first part of verse 3. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful or unthankful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous. Notice that unthankful is the quality that anchors that sorry lot of characteristics. Toward God, praise; toward self, contentment; toward others, respect. That takes discipline, doesn't it? To be ruled by the will of God in this way is to voluntarily, intentionally, consistently to give yourself to the discipline of being thankful. It's being trained by the process, and it's being developed by the practice so that you grow in being like Jesus Christ in this way. Now, don't miss what a huge change this is, or would be, from the current cultural norms of undisciplined self-will. The common thing these days is to be swept along in a passionate, angry, riotous reaction to some offense or injustice or fear. Past or present, personal or impresent, real or danger, real or imagined, doesn't seem to matter. It's just the almost religious reaction to it. What drives people is resentment or fear or almost religious devotion to some cause or issue or partisan position, any of which is pursued with a fervor that knows no bounds, is limited by no shame, and is ruled by nothing greater than itself. The discipline of thanksgiving comes down to this: God's will or my will? In Christ or not? Like Him or the world? And that's where the initial choices about thanksgiving are made. There's a whole lot of growing, developing, practicing, training to do after this. God's will or my will? In Christ or not? Like Him or like the world? What's your current relation to those questions right now? The gospel is the invitation, God's will in Christ, like Him. That's what we want to encourage in all of our lives this week. And if we can help you at that beginning response, please let us know while we stand and sing together.